Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is the John Chuckery Show as we officially enter into a early Tuesday morning. Here with you for the next couple of hours. We ask you to download the Radio.com app because, well, we know you're not in the vehicle as often. So, easiest way to listen to this show, this station, put it through the Radio.com app. Take that device, smartphone, Alexa speakers, your tablet, Commodore 64, boombox, 8-track player, Casio watch, text instruments, calculator, and television. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media, find us at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow those platforms. It's always the best way to be a part of the show. That would be through our personal Twitter handles. Hit me up. You can reach me. It is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all your water cooler talking points. And, oh, do I mean your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Sometimes years in advance. He is in Midtown, pushing the buttons, producing the show, hanging out with us for this next couple hours. Jarvis is in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We will be fan-friendly. I probably should have told Jarvis of this, but Jarvis, you got anybody that wants to call in and get this Falcons thing off their chest, feel free to jump on board with us this evening so we can be fan-friendly for these next couple hours. But, of course, we will be focusing on the Falcons. Now, let me quickly mention Braves with a very gutsy big win tonight over the Marlins. Magic numbers now 3. Was tough, wasn't easy, wasn't pretty. 6 pitchers out of the bullpen, but they get it done. And all I'll tell you is this. Very big, very gutsy win. I don't want to see that Marlins team in the playoffs. And they don't have a whole lot of talent, and they ain't got a whole lot of great players. But, man, they just fight and scratch and claw for everything that they get. It's crazy. It is. They have no business playing as well as they've played this year. So, oh, we'll talk about a Braves move coming up here, don't worry, in the show. I hadn't forgotten about all that. Yesterday, of course, the embarrassment that has become the Atlanta Falcons football franchise. And I say this with all due respect, okay? And I've said it for years. This is not a franchise that acts like it's in the football business at times. Because if we were in the football business, somebody wouldn't allow for things to carry on for as long as they've carried on with this franchise. You know, it doesn't take a genius to understand when you have, say, for instance, a guy who can't coach your team. But when you hear the owner of the franchise speak about how these things are, let's start right there. Let's play you a clip from earlier, I guess yesterday at this point. Arthur was on one of these Sirius XM NFL shows, okay? Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons. Here was his thoughts about the Cowboys game and this season so far.
Do you want to respond out of the, you know, doing something that's immediate and respond out of that, you know, disappointment, that sadness, maybe anger, frustration, what all of our fans felt, and I understand why. Well, think about, you know, I mean, how do we correct this? There's 14 more games to play in the season. We have a lot of games left to play, and there are certain aspects of our performance in the first two games which have been really good. Some other parts have not been good. Clearly, our defense is not playing at the level we want to see it play at, and clearly, on the last play of the game yesterday, our players, you know, didn't do what they, you know, either what they were instructed to do and they didn't understand it, or I mean, it's clear though they didn't, in my view, they didn't clearly understand what the rules were and exactly what they had to do. I think that's demonstrated when you watch the video of it. So,
are we to understand that if Arthur had executives in Home Depot and they continue to fail and make bad decisions and put employees in bad positions to not succeed, am I to believe that he would have kept those people around? Because I hear this statement, and I read it earlier today, so I already knew what the statement was. I didn't hear his verbiage on the comment, but I'd read the transcript of it. And it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And you can spin this yarn that there's 14 games left, and you can spin this yarn that they play hard for the coach, and you can spin all this stuff, but let me tell you what I know. You go on to ESPN.com, click on the NFL link, you click on the top banner, and click on where it says standings, okay? And look at the NFL standings, and you will see the Falcons are 0-2. And now you're in a group where about 10% of all of teams that start out 0-2 actually even make the playoffs. And I'm going to say the same thing again tonight that I've said for how many years now? When you watch that football team, do they look like a well-coached football team? Now, tonight's not going to be a victory lap because I don't want to have to keep being right about these things. And frankly, if you listen to this show and you've listened to me on this station for a bunch of years now, I tell you the same thing over and over. I've seen it. I understand it. I don't get caught up in fandom. I'm a fan and it frustrates the crap out of me, but I don't let it cloud my judgment. Do y'all believe me now when I say the only reason we were in the Super Bowl is because that quarterback, our guy Matt, played lights out that year and was MVP? The only other thing was you had a guy that just went off sacking the quarterback, which we'll get to all of that in the next segment. When you have an MVP at quarterback, your chances of being in that final game of the year are immense. And I went through the numbers, and I went through since 1979 and explained it to you. Do y'all believe me now when I've told you for years, if you think that was Dan's defense in Seattle, if you think that was Gus Bradley's defense in Seattle, you're not watching, and you don't understand the guy with all, and I'm not saying this because, you know, it's because you don't understand who the guy is that's running that franchise. You don't understand who's the alpha male of that franchise. And when I explained to you that, you know, when they're drafting Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, Dan's down in Gainesville, Florida. He's got nothing to do with that. So this idea that, oh, well, look what he did with Seattle's defense. He didn't do anything with Seattle's defense. He did no different for Seattle than what Marquand Manuel was doing here in Atlanta. Nothing. This franchise and the way it looks is Dan Quinn's blueprint, and it's allowed to continue because you just heard from the owner. Now, I'm going to lay some bad news on everybody here. They're not firing the coach. Not right now. Not right now. Do you really believe that Arthur, after all this months of continuity and commitment and staying the course and this, that, and the other, after two games, is going to give you your pound of flesh just to make you feel good? And I had this debate back and forth with people on Twitter last night at JMCH316. If you're firing Dan now, it's just because you want a pound of flesh. You want to put somebody on an oven pit and smoke the meat. That's it. Because are you going to tell me that you fire Dan and then you roll Thomas and Rich out there and say, hey, don't worry, we're going to find you another guy, huh? Isn't that sort of like the foxes guarding the hen house? And I saw one of Dan's comments today. Well, you know, we're going back. I mean, first off, what does anybody expect Dan's going to say? Hasn't Dan been here long enough for you all to know that you're going to get bumper stickers and platitudes and campaign slogans and brochures and pamphlets and flyers? You're not going to get substance. You're not going to get things that solve problems. It's all gibberish and round speak. That's it. That's it. Oh, it's brotherhood and this, that, and the other. Remember that whole when I said brotherhood's great until you can't win? What does brotherhood mean on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock? See, I'm still waiting for that. I've asked that for years on this station. Can somebody explain to me on Sunday at 1 o'clock what brotherhood means? Because I know what it doesn't mean. Doesn't mean a whole lot of victories. It doesn't mean a whole lot of I get to go on ESPN.com, click on the NFL tab, click on the standings tab, scroll to see my favorite team, and see a lot more W's than a lot more L's. And I've said for years, and I'll continue to say it until somebody else coaches this team, this franchise has zero advantage on Sunday. Zero. Do y'all understand me now when I've said that for years? There's a lot of good things that you have Monday through Saturday. You have zero advantage. Mike McCarthy, for 58 minutes of that game yesterday, made Dan look like Vince Lombardi. And Dan said, hold my beer. Watch this, Mike. Let me trump everything that you've done to lose that game up to this point. And I'm probably not going to have time to get, but there are three things to look at with this franchise and this football team to tell you why it gets so bad. We only got a couple minutes, so I'll give you the three things when we get back as part of the good, the bad, the ugly of it. The time to fire Dan isn't now. The time to have let Dan go was in January. But they spun a yarn and told a tale and tried to sell a bunch of malarkey. And I don't mean the former OC. Well, continuity. Well, look how we finish. There's always some kind of spin. I know Arthur's big in the political realm. He donates to, you know, Hillary and Trump and everybody else. Hell, he might as well run for office himself. What tells you, and again, do y'all understand now when I say it's not talent? Do y'all understand that too? Do you think the Cowboys yesterday beat the Falcons because they're a more talented football team? Do you think the Falcons lost in week one because they're not a talented football team? Do you really think that that's what the difference is, huh? You know, the Jets can't out-talent anybody, and they're going to lose a bunch of games for it. The Dolphins, frankly, can't out-talent most teams. The Jaguars can't out-talent anybody. But the Falcons can out-talent almost everybody on their schedule. You think Sunday coming up this Sunday, they lose, it'll be because they don't have as much talent as the Bears? Really? All right, when we get back, the good, the bad, the ugly, three things about this franchise and this football team yesterday that sum up what this has been over the course of these last several years. We'll give that all to you next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here. We'll go to 2 a.m. tonight. Sports Radio 929 The Game on the Radio.com app. Back with you here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you on this early Tuesday morning, taking you until 2 o'clock. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. That is our phone line as well. If you want to be a part of the show, we'll be fan-friendly with you here till 2 o'clock. I guess what? Amy Lawrence then comes up after all of this, and then John and Hugh a little bit later on this morning. And we'll be back with you later on tonight. So we're doing our two shows in a day, a little run here. So we talk about this, continue to talk about this Falcons game. So three things in that game yesterday that tell you all you need to know about where this franchise is and why it's not going to get better. First thing is, didn't Dan hire another game coordinator this year? You know, he had a guy last year, and that guy left, and then he brought another guy in this year, right? One of his buddies, one of his flunkies or toadies or something that he knew. He's got a new game coordinator, right? He has a game. Can I tell you? His game coordinator should be fired too. So three things about this team and this franchise under the Dan Quinn regime yesterday that stand out. Okay, now I didn't listen to Mike and Carl's show today. I'll admit I'd heard just a couple little bits and pieces. I did listen to a decent amount of Andy and Randy, and I listened to a decent amount of John and Hugh this morning. I had a lot of stuff going on, and just was able to catch some of the shows today. One thing, and I apologize if they touched on this and I didn't hear it, okay? And I like I said, I didn't hear Dukes and Bell. Has anybody brought up the fact that, and I tweeted this out yesterday at JMCH316, has anybody brought up the fact that the Falcons have been outscored 28-0 in the third quarter of these two games that they've played this year? They've been outscored 28-0. In the third quarter. Now, Jarvis, help me out. You're pretty good at this football thing. What's the thing that happens right before the start of the third quarter? They have this thing like the second quarter ends, and then before the third quarter starts, they have something in. What do they call that in between there?
They call it halftime, and then normally halftime. Coaches kind of get together and talk about what to expect for the second half, and then they make adjustments.
Oh, so like they gather their team, and they meet in the locker room on the boards and everything like that, right?
Yeah, yep, they talk about football stuff.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure that there wasn't – I know we're in a pandemic, and I know they're doing things differently, so I wanted to be sure – that I didn't miss something different about the way things are handled. That's disgraceful on 20 different levels. The fact that our offense, we can't get our offense going in the third quarter of games, and now all of a sudden the tide turns, whether we're behind or get a lead or what have you. The fact that our defense in the third quarter can't shut anybody down. The fact that we've been outscored by four touchdowns in the third quarter coming out of half, and we're an embarrassment in the third quarter of games this year. That's disgraceful. Disgraceful. Now, number two, the two-point conversion. Why are we chasing points when we're 3 touchdowns ahead. It makes no sense. Miss me with they want to get it rounded to 28-7. Why? Why would you even worry about that when you're up 27 to, when you could be up 27-7 on a team? Why are you so scared about that additional point? What is the risk reward on all of that? Because you saw at the end of the day, you ended up not, you know, by not getting that extra point, you ended up costing yourself with it. And the third thing is, as Arthur alluded to, the onside recovery. Now, let me read you something very quickly. And Keith, hang on a second. We'll get to you here in just a second, okay? See if I can pull him up here. Okay. This was a tweet earlier today from some guy. Michael Gelkin put this out. Cowboys special teams coordinator John Fassel on if that onside kick is purposely kicked to his team's sideline, not the opponent's. Now, clarification. Remember, nowadays in the NFL, you can't load up one side of the field or the other, right? That's part of one of the new rules about onside kicks is you can't load up one side of the field or the other, okay? And in this case, the Cowboys kicker, he doesn't use a tee when he kicks it off. So he can kick that kind of spinny ball that rolls down there, okay? Cowboys special teams coordinator John Fassel on if that onside kick is purposely kicked to his team's sideline, not the opponent's, so the opposing coaches cannot yell at their players to recover it. Quote, you're on to me. Unquote. Now, doesn't that tell you all that you need to know right there? And you can go and talk about, well, the defense should have played better. We should have done this. Okay, but that game came down to all the Falcons had to do was lay on top of that football, and the game is over. Just like Desmond Trufant picks that pass off against Andy Dalton 2 years ago, the Falcons win. That's a guy not making the play. But what happened yesterday is in that final minute 49 play, 47, whatever it was, they were completely outcoached on what was the most important play of that game. Were there lots of plays that affected the outcome of that game? Yes. But the most important play of that game. And the Falcons were completely outcoached by an inferior coaching staff who couldn't get anything right the whole day. Their fake punt attempts, fourth down attempts, timeout usage, two-minute offense, they didn't do anything right. And yet, they outcoached our staff in the most important play of the game. And I don't care what the reasons are. It doesn't matter. The reason that we weren't able to do that play, execute that play, is because we were outcoached. From the type of kick, to where it's kicked, to what was told, there's 10 things about that play where the Falcons were totally outcoached. And so, those three things, what in this history, with this current regime, tells you that the next big moment, we won't get outcoached. The next time we have to make a quick on-field decision, we won't get outcoached. The next time we come out of halftime, and did we or did we not adjust, we won't. Or we will, I guess I should say. What tells you that we'll do that? Because it's happened time and time and time and time again. It happens all the time. And we've reached full insanity with it. The definition of insanity is you do the same thing over and over and you hope for a different result. And I've lost faith and confidence when the owner of the franchise can't see that this has been the same pattern since the first year. You know, they're still, Jarvis, correct me if I'm wrong, the only team to start 5-0 and not make the playoffs? I believe that's the stat, right? So this has gone on since the first time that this head coach was put in place. So you can tell me fables about 14 games and we got this. What about those three things I just said has ever told you that they'll be better? He can change all the game coaches. It doesn't matter. We never adjust coming out of the half. And we're always making these fourth down, 2-point. We're always just doing crazy stuff. Oh, look at us. We're all gas, no brakes. Well, maybe it's time to hit some brakes. Maybe it's time to slow the F down and let's start playing fundamentally and start being smarter football teams. This franchise is pissing away the prime years of two of its best players ever. And frankly, I'll say, most of us will never see two better guys together on this franchise for our life. None of us, many of us won't live long enough to have said, wow, those two guys are better players than the two guys they had during the 2000s. There's no team in the NFL right now wasting more talent than the Atlanta Falcons. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. 404-741-0929. It's our phone line and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Let's see here. Who'd you have up here, Jarvis, for me? Keith in Southwest Atlanta. Let's go to Keith. Keith, what's going on, man?
You know what's irking me, Chuck. I mean, we knew this in the offseason. We knew this in the offseason.
Sure.
We knew we didn't have a traditional pass rusher. We knew our offensive line was sketchy. And now our freaking secondary, they're garbage. They can't cover. I don't even know what Isaiah Oliver is doing. I mean, he has no ball skills. Only thing that it was in the draft that he had long arms. That's the only thing. We have no, I don't know what happened to our pass rush. And, you know, we could talk about Quinn all day and night. But Thomas Dimitroff, he's nothing but a yes man. That's all he is. He's a yes man. He what you want. Oh, he get this. Okay. I mean, he should have been gone last year. So,
well,
you know,
I appreciate
all right.
Yep, I get it, Keith. I'm with you, Keith. I appreciate the phone call. Listen, and this is what my point is. If you're firing just Dan, then that's just to satisfy a hunger in your belly. You know, that's just going to the fridge and grabbing something cheap and unhealthy just to satisfy a craving. Because you really think that Dan getting let go fixes anything about what's going on with this franchise? We coach the same, we play the same, we draft the same, we run the organization the same. And I know Arthur wants to win. You know how I know Arthur wants to win? Because he hasn't hesitated to throw all the money imaginable at Matt and Julio and Grady and Debo and Jake to keep those guys together. And I'm with you. Again, people, you know, when I say, tell me why Isaiah Oliver is a starting corner in the NFL. Tell me how that guy is a starting corner in the NFL. Look at how many guys that, when they leave the Falcons, never play football again. The Croy Biermans, the Steven Jacksons, the Michael Turners. Look at how many guys this franchise that when they're done with the Falcons, never even play football again. Roddy, everybody. All right. Yeah, it's just frustrating. So we'll talk more about the Falcons here as we move along, certainly. Let's get to, when we get back, a What's Bugging Chukri. Because, again, I got a dope out on the West Coast that all of a sudden turned into Bobby Heenan. I'll explain it all next. Chukri here, Sports Radio 910 The Game on the Radio.com app. Welcome back to Sports Radio 910 The Game. It is the John Chukri Show. Hanging out with you on this early Tuesday morning, headed toward 2 o'clock. 404-741-0929. As we told you, we'll be fan-friendly with you here till we get to Amy Lawrence, that we'll hand off to at 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't forget the radio.com app. That's how you listen to the station when you're not in your vehicle. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90. We'll get to What's Bugging Chukri here in just a couple of minutes. But, you know, kind of finishing the thought of what we were talking about with Keith, you know, and that's why I say, I understand everybody wants Dan fired. I understand. But for the good of the franchise, you know, if don't tell me we got 14 games left and then tell me, well, let's fire Dan now. That doesn't solve anything. It doesn't. It doesn't. And you can promote Dirk Cutter. You can promote Raheem Morris. It's not changing anything. Because the see, this is why I compare it to the Braves sometimes. You know, the culture of the Braves. You guys say, oh, they got double A. It's the culture, guys. The culture of this franchise with Tom and Rich and Arthur is such that you can tell me that you get rid of Dan and you promote one of those guys, but the culture of the Falcons is the same. And I don't have evidence to this, okay? But I this is my opinion. And frankly, you're not going to convince me otherwise unless you can give me true, hard, factual evidence. If I say to you, which one of those two coaches, Frank DeBoer or Dan Quinn, you think more holds their players responsible? Which one of those two guys you think more holds their players responsible? And I know we're in a pandemic and this, that, and the other. But everybody has been open and honest about the fact that that was a mutual parting of the ways, okay? Mutual means that they didn't want him around anymore, and he didn't want to be here anymore. And you can tell me again, pandemic and his family and this, that, and the other. Brother, he's a multimillionaire. You can figure a lot of things out in life, I promise you. When you have financial resources, okay, that you can do a lot of things. Money can do a lot of things. It's hard for us to understand it because, you know, guys like me don't have any money. But money can get you a lot of things. So I ain't buying that one bit. I'm not buying it 1 ounce. But you think of those two coaches. Who do you think in your heart was holding more people accountable? You think it's Dan? What's going to be the accountability on Sunday from the previous week? You know, frankly, they should have a new game coach, if anything. There should be a new guy that's a game coach, because the guy you got doesn't know what the hell he's doing with his two-minute management or his, you know, or his understanding of the two-point conversion. You know, anything. And it's another week of, well, you know, I mean, Dan might as well come out and say, well, anything can happen in a short series. Well, you know, we're a play away. The most important play of your football season to date. Because that's the difference between we get out of here, we escape with a win. Could the offensive, I guess, they went for 39 points on the road. Christ, what more do you want? They went for 39 on the road in the NFL. Well, the defense didn't play well. I got you. But they did enough that if you fall on the football, we win. They did just enough. And guess what? The Cowboys are a really good offense. And we talked about this. That group of wide receivers is better than what they saw in week 1. And the Cowboys are going to have games this year where they roll up a lot of yards and points on people because they have a lot of personnel. At 21? I mean, what he did to KZ was criminal. That's, they said on the broadcast. Yeah, they said on the broadcast, posterizing? Yeah. You're darn Skippy that was posterizing a guy. So they're gonna have some of those games because they're a really talented group. But this defense did just enough, and the offense gave him plenty of points that in the most important play of the season, the guys on the sidelines puckered up in their sphincter and didn't know what to do and couldn't coach their way through it and couldn't put their team in a position to make the play. And I don't care who you tell me was on the field. I saw so many crazy things. You know, Keyshawn's talking about it's going out of bounds, and Finneran was talking about some. I mean, I've seen so many crazy, nutty things. It's real simple, folks. One team, because think about the Cowboys in that situation. They have to sit there and watch that ball roll for 10 yards and be disciplined to not touch it. And be disciplined to not jump off sides to get ahead of that football, right? Think about all of the things the Cowboys had to do right to make that play successful. They had to stay on side. They had to wait for it. They had to fall on at the right moment. They had to hold it. Everything the opposite of what the Falcons did. And that's where it gets bat crap crazy. Because every big moment from here until the end of this regime, when it's crunch time and we need a coaching decision, you won't get it. When we win, it's because Matt and Julio and those guys go out and they execute and get it done. Mike McCarthy, I'm telling you, had they have lost that game, might not have made it back for another week. Because his coaching was embarrassing. And Dan comes along, hold my beer. All right, let's get to a What's Bugging Chuckery. I got something I got to get off my chest, separate of everything else.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go back in time to the mid-late 80s of WWF wrestling, okay? And the greatest manager in the history of professional wrestling, Bobby Heenan. Does anybody, Jarvis, I'll even ask you, does anybody remember what his nickname was, what Gorilla Monsoon always called him, what his nickname was? He even dressed up in a costume and wrestled the Ultimate Warrior in a costume. Do you remember what his nickname was, Jarvis?
I mean, I knew him as Bobby the Brain.
Okay. He was known as the Weasel. That was always the joke about him. The Weasel, Bobby Heenan. Yes, he was Bobby the Brain, but Gorilla Monsoon and these guys would call him the Weasel, okay? Because he's always acting like a weasel. And in fact, he wore like a weasel outfit and wrestled the Ultimate Warrior in a pay-per-view match, okay? So, move forward. God bless Bobby Heenan, who is no longer with us. But the legacy of being a weasel continues in the form of Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, who, if you're not familiar, the Pac-12 just furloughed and fired a whole bunch of administrative staff. Aha! Aha! Hold on! Not so fast, my friend. Before making sure that they furloughed and fired people, the Pac-12 made sure that they paid out their yearly bonuses of over $4 million. Now, the good is the fact that, yeah, there were a handful, a sprinkling of some people within the Pac-12 administration that before being fired were given their bonus because they moved up the payout to bonuses up. One problem. Larry Scott and the people that stayed also collected their bonuses. In fact, of that $4 million, Larry Scott himself pocketed $2.5 million. Now, somebody explain to me what exactly Larry Scott deserves a bonus for. Let me check the schedule. When does the Pac-12 play again? Oh, yeah, they shut down immediately. When athletes started to push back in the Pac-12, what did the Pac-12 do? Oh, yeah, they folded like a house of cards. Okay. The Pac-12 is an embarrassment in the world of collegiate athletics. And on top of that, Larry Scott said, hold my beer. Let me make sure that I get my $2.5 million bonus and also pay it out to the rest of the ham and egger jabronis, as Bobby Heenan would say, to the other people that are sticking around. Because they tried to, well, you know, we paid out some of the people that were getting furloughed and fired for this. Yeah, but Larry Scott took $2.5 million of the four. And there's other people that are staying on that got bonuses as well. So how much did they really pay out to people that aren't there anymore? The Pac-12 is an embarrassment with how they're run and how sad that organization has become. Now, a lot of it, and they haven't done any favors for the University of Southern California fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis. They haven't done them any favors at all. And so because of it, you have the least relevant football conference in America. With all due respect to the Fighting Andy Bunkers of Washington or the Oregon Ducks or Arizona, the number one football brand west of the Rocky Mountains is not BYU, it's not Oregon, it's not San Jose State, it's not UCLA, it's not Hawaii, it's the University of Southern California fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis. Larry Scott is a weasel. He knows he ain't going to be around much longer. Supposedly, there are rumors about the fact that he knows he's on the way out. But he's damn sure going to make sure he collects his $2.5 million bonus for the worst Power 5 basketball conference, for the worst Power 5 football conference. Jarvis, maybe in our next life we could be Pac-12 commissioners. Because obviously you don't have to be very good to get paid a lot of money to do it. Thanks, Larry Scott. He's the new weasel of the West Coast. All right, that's what's bugging Chuckery. When we get back from the top of the hour, be time for a Falcons flyover. We'll listen to some reaction post-game plus comments, I guess, from Dan as well today. We'll get into all of that next. It is John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here. We'll head toward the final hour of the program. Sports Radio 910 The Game on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.